Welcome to the Change Your World Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the incredible Miss P.K. Eastman. P.K., why don't you take it from here?
Oh, gosh, thank you. So excited. I love being on in the morning. I'm up. I'm ready. I'm on the West Coast, so it's a little bit earlier for me, and it's just actually, yesterday I thought I'd have to build a boat instead of be on this call today, but the sun is shining, the leaves are falling, and it's that time of year. So as Tanya said, my name is P.K. Eastman. I am a former teacher and social worker, and I've converted those skills into coaching women, and particularly in the area of finding their story and being able to tell it and make change in the world. I'm so excited. This is the first time I've been on this call as a certified Public Speaker Academy speaker and as a trained Public Speaker Association Academy career speaker trainer. That's a lot of words. I'm going to figure out how to get that shorter. But anyway, I'm just so excited. Tanya is awesome, and the Speaker Academy and the certifications that she is making available to all of us is an amazing program. And I just encourage all of you on this line to investigate that and those that have the opportunity to listen later. So it's November. I'm afraid to count the days till Christmas because I sort of am an avoider of that. However, when it comes to business, we cannot do that. I don't know if you remember or noticed it. My title, my official title today is New Year's in November. And really, it might be, maybe more appropriately, would be New Year's for the next 90 days starting in October. Because what I want to talk to you about today, and because I'm doing this process myself, I sort of believe that when I teach, I learn the most. So here's the plan. Today we're going to talk about the plan for the next, whatever we have, 30, 40 days in the year, and how that's going to set us up to be amazing in our businesses and in our personal lives in 2016. A lot of times we wait until January 1st, and then it's 20 or 30 days, 60 days before our plan really gets in shape. So if we're going to think like a CEO, the CEO of our family, the CEO of our business, actually the CEO of our life, we have to adopt that mentality. And real CEOs would begin to look at their business year and current and next in October. And that's the month they assess. Where are we? How are we doing on the goals we have already set and hope to complete by December 31st? They may need to make some adjustments that maybe in what they plan to do in that next 90 days. It may be to reset a goal. Maybe they're behind and they need to adjust. Maybe they're way ahead and so they need to increase those goals just a little bit. Then in November becomes the time to really plan how to finish strong in December and be set on January 1st with that new plan. My friend was talking yesterday. She said this is so important to all of us. We were having a conversation about this. She said rather than laying around on December 2nd with our pants unbuttoned, because after the holidays we can't get ourselves stuffed into them the way we used to, that's not a good day to be setting resolutions. We just lose time if we approach it that way. So I want to start with November here because that's where we are, and I think that the best way to start planning our next year is to look at what we have accomplished and what we're grateful for. After all, November is a month of gratitude. And I just want to say on a personal note, I'm a little sad this year. I have watched a little bit of TV, and it seems like there isn't a single ad about Thanksgiving. It's all about Christmas. We went from October 31st to December 1st and have skipped over how important that gratitude element is in our life. And I, for one, just want to pay honor and homage to the founding fathers and the pilgrims who came here. And when I think about what they endured that first year after that rocky, rolly, wet, cold boat ride across the great ocean there and landed and had to find nothing here and built from scratch their homes, their gardens, their fields, everything they needed to sustain themselves. I'm odd when I think that they lost over half of their members that first year and still, at the end of the harvest year, sat down and expressed gratitude for the blessings that they have had. I have to ask myself, I don't know. That sounds hard to me. And we have hard things we face today. So the reality is everybody has a trial. Everybody has a challenge. And more importantly, I believe that everybody can find something to be grateful for. And when we're grateful to whomever, some call us God, some people call it God, some people call it the universe, some people call it the greater spirit. I don't care what we call it. I care that we express gratitude for what we have, gratitude for what we've accomplished, and even the learning moments that we've had where we wanted to quit and we didn't feel much gratitude for anything. You know, those are the times in which we learn the most, and when we can step forward into our own greatness and say, by gosh, I'm so grateful there is another year coming. And what worked, I'll do again. What didn't, I will tweak. And I will be better for all the wonderful things that happened, and I will be better for all the things that taught me lessons I obviously needed to learn. Oh, I'm right on time. This works out great. I want to talk just briefly about the three kinds of gratitude that we can express as we look forward to our next year of life, business, and happiness. You know, there's a simple little, hey, thanks for bringing me that cup of coffee. I think that's important. I think it's really amazing when I stop and think about it. What do we teach our children when they're really small? The first word I think everybody understands that children learn is no. I'm not real happy about that. Someone, a little girl, I had a picture on my Facebook yesterday or the day before, and this little girl, she was so cute. She was sitting there, and she said, my name is No-No. And it just made me laugh because that's probably what she heard more than her actual name. But then what do we teach them next? Mama, Daddy, and then right close after that are the words please and thank you. It's ingrained to us as individuals to be thankful for the things we have. And I think this last year I've kind of run a little personal experiment. In addition to just saying thank you at the grocery store, at the restaurant, or somebody who holds the door for me, if that happens, if my arms are full with books and bags, which they usually are, I've turned and said thank you. And beyond that, I've looked at them and said, with all the sincerity I could muster, and say, I really appreciate your help. And the reason I think that's important for us is that when I say thank you, I'm saying, hey, thank you for serving me. That's the end of it. At the next level, when we say, and I appreciate what you've done for me, we are saying and including that person in the process. I'm thankful. And you made me that way. You helped me. So there's that element of not just you served me, but beyond that, I'm truly appreciative of your efforts on my behalf. I think that would be so helpful in the workplace, whether we are entrepreneurs in an office or even in our home. And I think I'm really sensitive to this. I'll tell you just a cute, quick story. In my family, we were kind of the Lord helps those that help themselves kind of. My parents were really quiet Midwesterners, and they had survived the Depression and World War II. And they were just hard workers. That's the most important thing I could say. They worked hard, and they took care of business. And in their hearts, I know they were grateful, and they appreciated everything, but it wasn't something that they normally expressed. When my oldest daughter got married and moved, and she and her husband finished college, and they moved back here to where we live in Portland. They were moving into their first, beginner's home. And my brother had come to help them. Now, my son-in-law, awesome guy, and he was raised in a family where if you breathed and had a smile on your face, people said, thank you. Thank you for picking that up. Thank you for being to the dinner table on time. You know, thank you for closing the door. Thank you for picking up your clothes. thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And my brother, who was just so diligent, and he was helping in and out the door, box after box after box, and finally about mid-morning, early afternoon, he came over to me and he said, Kay, if Russ says thank you to me one more time, I don't know what I'm going to do. And it brought home to me the difference in cultures, just even within families. And I realized that although we had been raised as grateful, we were not expressive about it. And I made a decision at that point that I would change that. And I think I had done a decent job of that, but it just struck me, oh my goodness, how important it is to teach and then be aware of the results of our teaching, whether it is passive or openly what we teach. So, but Rick was funny, and I laughed at him, and I said, well, you're just going to have to get used to it, because I don't think Russ utters a sentence without saying something about thank you for helping, or oh, I appreciate that. And it was a good lesson to me. I am grateful for Russ. For 20 years now, he's been teaching me that same lesson. So then I want to just mention what I think is the highest level of thanks, and that is the expression of gratitude. It's more than I appreciate. I'm grateful for this experience. I'm grateful for knowing you. I'm grateful for having an association with you. I think that speaks to the element of the first one is me to you, thanks, and then it's me about you. This one is us about something bigger. For all the gifts that we've been given, for all the good in our life, in spite of those things that sometimes we focus on, it's easy to be negative. Boy, do I understand that. But the person who focuses on gratitude, I believe, not only is happier, I believe he or she generates more happiness and gratitude and gratefulness in others. And more than that, I believe that it opens the door to greater opportunity. When we read about the things that great leaders do or really successful people, and I always say success leaves clues. So if I want to be more successful, I'm going to follow those who are successful. And you know, the word gratitude is always at the top of their list. So I just encourage us. I know that most people have an element of gratitude, but if you're an 8, let's work for a 9 next year. If you're a 10, you know what? Let's go for an 11. I believe gratitude is something we can always find more of. And when we give out and express that gratitude, it opens the door in our heart, in our minds, and in our homes for more goodness to come in. That expression, I'm grateful for this gift, says, and I'm ready for another one. Give me more so that I can be even more grateful. So that's the way I approach goal setting, because this is the time of year to do that. We look at November, we express gratitude for the gifts we've had. We move into December evaluating and looking forward. And I certainly suggest we do this earlier in the month rather than later. I'm going to take a deep breath here and start this second part. When we acknowledge the gifts that we have, we can ask then for maybe gifts that we don't have. Maybe we need more patience. Maybe we need to be more long-suffering. Maybe we just need to have more energy, more vision, whatever it might be. When we're grateful for what we have, that gives us the privilege and the opportunity to ask for more so that we can be better at our chosen line of work or where we dedicate our time for goodness in the world. I say to myself, I've expressed gratitude for this gift or that gift, and then how can I take that gift to the next level in the coming year? How can I use my gifts to serve others? What areas do I want to serve more in 2016? What will that look like? I measure my results deliberatively. What did I accomplish this year? So I know where I want to go, where I need to go in the coming year. And I think there are generally, my experience over the years, is that there are two ways in which we can decide and develop our goals or our visions for the coming year. And there, it's the SW plan or the SP plan. The SW plan is to throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. You know, when we're young, we can do that if we don't have any particular objectives in mind. When we are running a business, when we're entrepreneurs, when we are just working at a managerial position in a company, we can't do that. So the second, and what I'm going to propose today, is the better method. Is the SP plan, which is strategic planning. We want to look at where we are, where we've come from, where we want to go, and plan exactly those things that we want to do to achieve that particular space. I will just say for me and my house, we do that under the umbrella of to whom much has been given, much is expected. So I take this really seriously. And I want to take 1 minute or two here. Michael Hyatt, who is someone I follow, he is an awesome man who has a great platform. And if you're not familiar with him, just Google Michael Hyatt and you'll have a choice of things to look up and read about him and see if he's somebody that might help you develop some more insight. And he has some really appropriate questions and a couple of them were ones I hadn't thought about in exactly the same way. So I want to share those with you quickly today. When you think about setting goals, what is the first emotion you feel? Guilty, anxious, excited, confused, annoyed, defeated, frustrated, bored, or if there's another emotion there. That will give you some insight on really, in your gut, how you feel about goal setting. Which of the following applies to you? I don't set goals. I make New Year's resolutions. I set annual goals. I set annual goals and quarterly goals. Do you write your goals down? That's just a simple yes or no. And then, what percentage of your written goals do you achieve? 20% or less? 21 to 40%? 41 to 60%? 61 to 80%? Or 80 to 100%? I just want to comment that he says written goals because for the most part we can just discount almost totally unwritten goals. It is the rare person who can have a goal, not write it down, and hope to accomplish very much about it. Then what is your biggest obstacle to setting goals? Fear that I will fail to achieve the goals I've set. A lack of clarity about which goals to set. Uncertainty about the best way to set goals. Knowing that my motivation won't last. Now, we're almost finished here. If you were to set goals for 2016, what areas would you focus on? You can check all or none. Lose weight or improve health and fitness. That's the number one goal people set in January. Do more in less time. Make more money or save more money. Become a better leader at home and at work. Improve my marriage or other relationships. Write a book. Get out of debt, build an online platform, spend more time with family. The last one here, if you could boost one element to help you achieve your goals, what would that be? More personal coaching, more accountability from friends and family, more clarity on defining my goals, more structure for accomplishing my goals. I think if you can answer those questions honestly, fairly, openly, it will set you on the right track, whether you started setting goals at this point or whether you're going to start now or whether you're going to wait till January. But those really hit the nail on the head, emphasizing the importance to write goals, the importance to think about where you're going and where you truly want to be. I would like to share with you, I think a lot of people set dreams, not goals. Or they set visions, not goals. You can set goals, and that's great. The important part about those goals for me, though, and the last point I'd really like to share with you here today is the whole point of setting goals is to achieve results. And I think that what I'd really like to share with you in these last 2 minutes is that words matter. And I will tell you honestly, the goal setting, the name, the word, the specific word goals is a challenge for me. And when I was talking with my coach here a few weeks ago, we talked about the point of goals being results. And that word really resonated with me. And John gave me a plan, and he said, do this. And I'm doing it, and I love it. So I just want to pass it on to you. I suggest you try it. If it works for you, great. If it doesn't, you know, I have a category of, you know, use it or lose it. And so you can do either one with this, but I would encourage you to try it. If you draw a circle on a page, kind of maybe in the middle of the page, but not all the way out, and then you know when you were in first grade how you made a sun, you just drew straight lines out from that, draw about 8 lines. In the middle of that circle, write small at the top the word results. And then put some numbers, like I do 1, 2, 3, 4, and I put spiritual, financial, social, relationships, and physical health. Those are the 4 areas most of my goals fall in. So if I have goals, then what I set as my goal are the results I want. So I can refocus my mind not so much on the overarching goal, but the result. And it, for me, as I say, it just resonates. That gives me a work. It's more specific. So let's pick financial. Almost everybody has a financial goal. So you've got 8 little spokes going out from your little sunshine there. 2 of those, you can write some financial. Maybe there's a particular number you want to achieve in 2016. Write that number on one of the spokes. Maybe there is something of that. Let's just say you want to make $100,000. That's a nice round number, and everybody loves 6 figures. So at that point, then you might want to put $10,000 of that in savings. So that can be your 2 goals for financial. And you do that for the other 3 areas. Or, you know, if you have 5 areas, put 10 spokes. And at the end of that, you write that out, and now you have the result of what your goal is. And if you want to say that $20,000 of that $100,000 is for a vacation, you can write that on a little paw spoke. Anyway, that was so helpful to me. As I say, I want to share it. My time is almost not up here, but I will give you the one other formula that I think a lot of people are familiar with. But just to run over and remind everybody, your goals should be SMART. S for specific. M for measurable. A for achievable, and I always put with a stretch. R for realistic. If you are making $50 a month, you cannot probably go to $100,000 a month in 1 year. So you want to make sure it's realistic. And then you want a time limit on that. Within 6 months, I will be, I will do, I will have, I will achieve. Because without a time limit, it again is just a daydream. So with that, I want to tell you that I'm so committed to people setting goals, writing them down, figuring out where they want to go. I do 2 things. I always recommend you start with why, and if you're not sure what that is, I refer you to the TED Talk by Simon Sinek. You can find his goals talk or begin with why really easily. And I want to offer you a 30-minute goal coaching call anytime between December 17th and let's just say December 15th. How would that be? That cuts us off a little bit before Christmas. And if you want that call, and if it goes 45 minutes, I'm not real good at watching the clock. So let's take some time. If you need some help getting started or if you need some help refining your goals, I am here to service you and to do that. You can reach me at my email, which is K-A-Y at the initial P is in Paul, the letter K, Eastman, EASTMAN.com, K at PKEastman.com. And if it's easier for you to text me, by all means do that, 503-347-9559. 503-347-9559. I wish you a happy holiday season, a Merry Christmas, and a wonderful time and a fun experience setting your goals and making big things happen for you, your family, and your business in 2016. God bless.